Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this week's radio conference. This week on the floor of the Senate, we will be debating stem cell research, and the debate will probably be very similar to the debate we had last year. The base bill that we will be debating, however, will be one to expand federal funding for stem cell research. It's S5, and it expands funding for embryonic stem cell research that is literally identical to the bill that was passed last Congress but was vetoed by the President. There will be an alternative bill, Senate Bill 30, that will promote alternatives to embryonic stem cell research. And I think the key point in the debate will be the difference between the way the two bills deal with the destruction of human embryos for purposes of research. The alternative bill will follow the recommendations of the President's Council on Bioethics, which published a paper highlighting a number of different alternatives for achieving stem cell research without destroying naturally created embryos. And those alternatives include things like using cells from embryos that have died naturally in the course of attempts to use them in fertility treatment. Allowable method would be using cells that were developed from a single cell removed from an early embryo without otherwise harming the embryo. Another possibility is the engineering of an entity that is not itself an embryo, but that could still yield stem cells like those derived from embryos. And then a fourth alternative would be the process of chemically reprogramming adult cells to function and behave like embryonic stem cells. So there are a number of options available before the Senate as we move into this debate, but I think it will prove to be a very, very interesting debate this whole week on the Senate floor. We will also continue pushing to move quickly to resolving the differences between the House and the Senate on the Supplemental Appropriations Bill. You'll remember both the House and the Senate have voted for those bills. There are some differences, however, and the House is not in session this week, so that will slow us down for about a week. But we want to get that bill to the President as soon as possible because we expect that the President will veto the bill. The President's veto is expected because of language in the bill that establishes multiple benchmarks for Iraq and requires that almost all U.S. troops be out of Iraq by March of 2008. The House bill calls for the removal of all troops by August of 2008. And there are some other minor differences in the bills, but there continues to be the strong opposition by the President and myself and others to language that sets specific deadlines by Congress rather than letting our commander-in-chief and our commanders in the field make the determinations as to troop withdrawal and troop strength levels. We'll also be trying to get the budget resolution done quickly. I won't go over the budget unless somebody wants me to again, but we do have the continuing debate over what the budget resolution will look like and whether it will authorize new tax increases or additional spending beyond that which the economy can handle. Last thing I will mention is President Bush has obviously again raised the issue of immigration, and the immigration issue is moving forward in the Senate. I don't know if a bill will be coming to the floor soon, but we have people from all perspectives on the issue working together to try to come up with a piece of legislation that can have broad base support here in Congress. There's a pretty strong belief that we need to continue the efforts to keep illegal entry at the border down as much as possible and to focus very strongly on border control. And there is a broad base of support for developing a comprehensive, workable guest worker program. The main area of Congress of conflict, once again, is the question of amnesty, whether those who have illegally entered the country should be given an advantage in any comprehensive guest worker program, or whether we should establish a guest worker program that does not reward illegal behavior. With that, let me stop and throw it open. And the first on my list this week is you, Bill Scott.
I don't really have any questions.
No questions?
Nope.
All right. Well, we'll go on to Dave Plourd.
Well, you caught us by surprise, Senator.
So. Oh, dear.
I don't think we were expecting you. Have you had a chance to, because I certainly don't know much about it, the Ninth Circuit Court ruling on yesterday on dams downstream and upstream?
You know, I have not seen that. I'll have to take a pass on it right now and get up to speed on it. I'm sorry, Dave.
That's okay. with I'll move along to tax season.
Yes.
I think for the past 30 years I've heard, well, we're going to reform that next year. Any hope of that ever happening?
Well, as you note, it is tax season, and tax day is next week, Tuesday, April 17th, and so it's a very appropriate question. You are correct. Every year for the last couple of decades, a number of people, including myself, have talked about the need for wholesale reform of the tax code. The tax code is unbelievably expensive and cumbersome and burdensome to the American people, notwithstanding the level of taxation. There's really two issues. The first is the level of taxation, which I think needs to be reduced, and the second is the complexity of the code, which creates compliance costs that are, in many cases, equal to the tax cost. And as a result of that, we must move forward with reform. Now, the question you raised is there a reasonable likelihood? And I have to be honest with you, the effort to comprehensively reform the tax code by moving to either a flat tax or to some type of a sales national sales tax is a very, very difficult debate. We do not have the votes in either the House or the Senate right now to adopt either of those two basic types of reform, although we have a number of specific proposals that move forward and have a lot of support. So I guess the bottom line is that with regard to comprehensive reform, we will continue to push the debate and hope for a time when we can get the votes to do it, but I wouldn't count on it happening this year. I want to make one more kind of shift gears a little bit and move to the issue of the rate of taxation. The budget resolution that we passed, in my opinion, is going to allow taxes to increase. The tax increases that we, or the tax cuts that we passed in 2001 and 2003 are scheduled to expire over the next 3 or 4 years, and the budget resolution basically sets the framework for allowing those tax cuts to expire, resulting in a tax increase. And that will ultimately cost the taxpayers in America over $700 billion of tax increase over the next 5 years. And so while we are not making much progress on reforming the tax code, it appears that Congress is setting up the potential for major returns to previous tax levels that will represent significant tax increases for all Americans. Any more on that, Dave?
No, I think that's fine. Thank you.
Okay. Leslie, are you on today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
You mentioned the secure schools part of the defense bill that's expected to be vetoed.
Yes.
I know it'll come back for compromise, and you know everybody will be sort of doing a balancing act. Is there any plan to simply take that out and send in a standalone bill?
The answer to your question is yes. We are looking for any number of vehicles to do the compromise that was achieved on the Secure Rural Schools and Community Self-Determination Act. To give some detail to that, the compromise we achieved was to provide $2.8 billion over 5 years for county payments. And it ultimately, either in the next supplemental bill or in some other bill that is moving or in an independent bill, we will move it forward. But the bottom line is that we don't have a specific vehicle identified yet. The only thing that would stop us from moving it forward as an independent bill is if there were some objection that we expected to see to that and that the bill could not be expected to move in that context. And I just don't have the answer to that right now, Leslie. I know that we are looking at every option, including a self-standing bill.
Okay. Another subject. Our beloved animal friends have shown us there is a great weakness in the safety of our food chain. Is the FDA doing anything to pursue safeguards of I don't know whether it's a country of origin or simply investigating this business of the contaminated byproducts from China.
Well, certainly the FDA is looking into it, although I don't have any details on that. I think that there are probably several federal agencies with jurisdiction, including the Agriculture Department, that are evaluating this very, very closely to determine the safety of our foods. Interestingly, when you talk about national security and homeland security, one of the biggest areas of danger is water and food. And we've been looking at that ever since 9/11 in a number of different contexts to determine how we can best assure the safety of the food, fiber, and water that we utilize in our country. Other than that general explanation to you, though, I don't know of any details with regard to this most recent situation dealing with China.
Okay. Just a comment. That very thing has come out in emails since it's happened. People very concerned that what an easy way to get to us. This is terrorism at the ultimate.
Oh, it is. And the potential for spreading terror through the food chain is immense. It's one of the things that I know our Department of Homeland Security focuses on very, very closely.
Thank you.
All right, next, Jason.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I guess in light of this week's trip to Cuba for Governor Otter, I know he's talked a little bit about being against the embargo, and he and Craig had gone down there, and I was wondering to get your take on the situation with Cuba, and you think changes should be made?
Yes, I do. I believe that we should have much more open and free trade as well as travel with Cuba. And the reason I say that is not only because it is beneficial to us economically for trade, but because if we truly want to see that society and that government reformed and opened up and made more free, I believe the way to do that is to engage with them and to trade with them and to let the people there experience a free society and a capital market like we have in the United States. And that will generate the kinds of political pressures and social pressures inside Cuba for the political reforms that are necessary for them to move forward in their quest for more freedom in their society.
Has there been any other talk about addressing that more in the Senate or House or anything?
I haven't heard any recently, but it's an issue that is always before us. I mean, every year there is legislation before the Senate and the House, and although I haven't seen it yet this year, I know that it's there or will be introduced soon to deal with this. And in one context or another, we will continue to seek to resolve these issues here in Congress until we get it done.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you. That's everybody, I think, who's on today. Any other questions? All right, thank you all very much. We'll talk next week.
Thank you.
Sir.